I believe that there is a road to the cloud. Now this is, I hope you agree with me, this is not a simple thing. Because most people are talking about how they get you there, but then I have a question for you. How do you get yourself there? Now that's I think that's a better question, right? Not how somebody else gets you there, but how do you get yourself there? So what I hope, I'm serious, and it is a pleasure to be back here in Belgium, because this has been actually the fourth year that I've had the pleasure to come and work with people here in the country. I hope that you see that I'm a pragmatic. You know, that I'm very pragmatic. I don't believe in stuff that you can't do for yourselves. I don't believe in solutions that you can't deploy today. So, with that said, let me start by showing you three slides. I hope you'll enjoy this. Three slides, at best four. And I'm going to try to show you what I think is the road to the cloud. What we built was five demos. And by the way, if I try to do this actual demos for you on stage, number one, I would have to need about four data centers. And number two, the time wouldn't be enough with the session. So I recorded them, took the liberty of taking away all the wait times, because I just want to show it to you. So I realized, look, if you don't applaud on the demo, I know the videos, right? They're my movies, so I know how they end. But you will see them. You will see how they look, and you will see tangibly what I mean by road to the cloud. So I hope this is the least cloudy. That's the second joke. I apologize. I said 17, okay? I still have some to go. So the least cloudy talk of the day. Is that good? Good. Good, good. So I have a couple of questions. Now, I know I can't ask them of you, but, you know, I'll ask them anyways without expecting a deep response. Let me start with the first question. If I just virtualize the data center, if I just go ahead and virtualize it, is that a virtualized data center? And I realize I just used the word for the definition. Well, you know what? What most people are telling me is no. And that's very surprising, right? Because, again, I just said virtualized data center. But what people are telling me is no, you need for this data center to be managed. Do you sort of agree with me? Okay. So just having it virtualized, just virtualizing a couple of servers, doesn't give me a virtualized data center. I need to be managed. Okay. What happens after management, after you have some alerts that actually give you a good status, that actually give you good insight into the status and health of your services? Well, I wish we'd be automated. Is that good to say? Is that fairly safe? Okay, so if you're automated, what would be the next step? Well, automated, you have to be careful. I'm not talking about Microsoft automated. I'm not talking about a vendor automated. I'm talking about you automated. I'm talking about your data center actually having a process that is useful for your service that you created, that you consumed, and that you understand. You have to understand, I know this example way too well. This is like buying bicycles, right? I've bought a lot of bicycles in my life. And if you see this, you can't buy a capability, okay? So you can keep buying bicycles, but you're not going to lose weight, right? So it's not about buying. It's about consuming. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not buying tools, actually consuming them so that you go from management to automation. And once you achieve that, then we can talk about elasticity. Is this fair? Am I saying something coherent for you? And by us going there from, again, I'm going to go into this because this is what I will try to show in the next hour, 10 minutes. Going from just virtualized to managed, going from managed to automated, to finally having a little bit of elasticity. And if you can actually achieve that, I believe humbly that you can clothe yourself cloudy, you know? Now, whether you say I'm really cloudy or just a little bit cloudy, I'm all good. As long as you realize that you're heavily automated, I'm all good. As long as you realize that heavily automated gives you benefits, whether they be on lower total cost of ownership or better and more efficient. Because, again, I love my gym example. It's like going to the gym. You can say, I just want to feel good. And another guy can say, I just want to lose weight. Guess what? You will both lose weight and feel good, okay? It's part of the example. You will both get better cost of ownership and be more efficient. It is the way it works. But that is automated. And if we can actually achieve that, then, with all due respect to everybody, us and you, then we can talk about public. Because then you can shift whether you want to run it or you want somebody else to run it. And there's some great examples about this. In fact, I'll tell you a very small story I wasn't supposed to say, but, well, you know, why not? Look, there's this customer I was working in Brazil. And this customer said, this is a global brand, okay? They said, we were never going to go to the public cloud, right? Because we don't want to put our data there. Now, I'm hearing that from some people. It's never going to go to the public cloud. And I said, fine. But they said, but we have a marketing campaign that we don't want to run. I said, why is that? And they said, well, because we don't know what's the load, right? So we have no idea if we're going to get 20,000 hits a day or 20,000 hits in a month. So this is not a, I'm going to get load tomorrow. It's, I have no idea how much load I'm going to get. So what do I do with that? So we said, why don't you code it in Azure, right? Put it on our data center. And if you get 20,000 hits in one day or in one month, who cares? You'll just pay for your consumption. So again, please don't think that all your needs fit in one box. Because as every speaker that will come before and after me will tell you, it is a not one-size-fits-all world. And we all know it. So we're not going to talk about one-size-fits-all, but you should also not architect for one-size-fits-all because that's not the world we all live in. So with that said, I truly believe that for you to be able to have this automation elasticity is the same story we've been telling you for the past 7 years. And it is dynamic IT. And it is based on several things. It is based on a unification of management of virtual and physical. I am extremely sad to keep seeing people having their virtual environment justified and not being managed. Let me say this in plain Spanish so we understand each other, okay? I have a virtual server, therefore I can't configure it anymore. No. You just lost real data center capabilities by doing that. You cannot continue achieving that. So number one, physical and virtual need to be exactly the same, treated as production servers and with very serious processes. Number two, you have to have processes and they have to be adequated to your reality. ITIL generically, MOF generically, whatever you want, COBIT generically, does not achieve anything for you. It is just too much processes for anybody to consume. And it doesn't give you any type of agility. It has to be adequated to your reality. Obviously, it has to be service-enabled. And that is not something that is hard to achieve. You just have to realize what service you're actually providing to the business and divide your services in that way, at least logically. I've heard 1,000 times, oh, that's not my area. That's distributed desktops area. Oh, no, that's not us. That's in the data center. That's in field services. You see my point. It's all good, but we're not necessarily servicing the guys who pay our salaries. And last but not least, there should be some user focus and at least some synthetic transactions that tell you what the user experience is on the services that you provide. So with this said, I will give you, I hope you've seen this slide in the past. I hope you haven't seen the way I do it in the past. But I think this is the best slide I've seen on the cloud so far. I'm not joking. Let me explain it this way, the way I see it. If you run on-premise, and you tell me if you agree or not with your head, that's all I need. I just need a nod, okay? If you run on-premise, you decide everything, right? You decide the cable, the switch, the server brand, the hypervisor name, the operating system, the database, right? You decide everything. Okay. If you buy infrastructure as a service, what should you decide? There's some vendors out there that say, no, we need to lower that bar, and you need to decide the server brand. But would that be feasible for a vendor of infrastructure as a service? Not really. Well, what should you offer? Well, most people agree that you should say, I want three Windows Server 2003 R2s or two Windows Server 2008 R2s. That's what I want, right? And then you say, okay, whatever is underneath, as long as you give me an SLA, I'm good with it, right? That's what I'm buying, okay? Well, what about if I buy platform as a service? So what would this example be like? I want three SharePoint servers, or I want two SQL servers. For an obvious reason, I'm only using Microsoft examples, okay? So I know, come on. What were you? I'm already going to show you a couple of good things that you don't expect. Let me save my surprises. I mean, I have not much to work with. I have to put my surprises on the slides. You know, I am an IT speaker at the end of the day. So this is, I'm just getting an application. Would it matter to me which cables I use? Can I tell the vendors use this brand of switch or that one or this router? Should I tell them use this operating system? Not really. You see my point? Not really. Is this for every service that you own? Not really. One size fit all is not the world we live in. What about software as a service? Well, this would be buying inboxes from Exchange. Does it matter what is running underneath that? No, I just want inboxes. Would you agree with the point I'm making here? You have to realize that you lose some control and you gain some control. You lose some costs and you gain some cost from the different models. So you have to align each service focused on your user, depending on where it goes. I don't think, look, has anybody thrown their mainframes away? Don't raise your hands, I won't believe you, okay? It's the same thing. Are we gonna throw them away tomorrow because the cloud came in? No. We're all going to have a mixture, a heterogeneous environment. And that's the way we're gonna remain because that has worked for the past, what, 20 years, 30 years? So with that said, you're gonna have some services in the cloud. We're all sure about that. Okay, so with that said, let me ask you a simple question. Would you agree that today, whether I talk about layers, like the application layer, the operating system layer, or the hardware layer, or whether I talk about functionalities, like, you know, application runtimes or database, we all have one tool for monitoring, one tool for configuring, hopefully, not necessarily, and then one tool for high availability. And I didn't talk about security, and I didn't talk about backup or disaster recovery. You see, I was very kind. I just kept the slide as simple as I could. Well, we have many tools. So here is the humble question, and I know I'm getting myself in harm's way, okay? You ready? Can you automate this? Lie to me and tell me that you can. Please. I used to run data centers. Lie to me. Tell me that automating this is not only possible and feasible, but easy to do. It's not, right? I didn't say monitor. I didn't say manage. Be careful with my words. I said automate. So my point is, okay, this is very, very hard. What if we talk about a platform? How could we reduce this in scope so that we make it feasible? And that's what I'm going to try to show you today, okay? I'm going to try to show you how you could achieve this if you focus at it by platform. And in this case, specifically, the Windows platform. Okay? Is that interesting? I hope the answer was yes. So, we're going to show vertical and horizontal integration. Now, I hope you've seen vertical integration in the past, which is I fail over because something happened within my scope, right? The server broke and then I fail over. Well, that's pretty straightforward. But I hope you're not going to see horizontal integration many other places because I don't think any other vendor out there can really provide it to you, and I'm not being sarcastic. Horizontal integration is I'm going to have a reaction based on something that happens on my environment but is not necessarily a failure. Interesting. I'm going to have a reaction based on something that happened way over there, and it's not part of my direct responsibility. Okay, so now we're talking about services. So I'm going to show you basically five demos. We're going to start with a little bit technical, native hypervisor automation, doing snapshots. Look, the worst thing that can happen to you in all these demos is you get bored for 1 minute, because all demos are 4 minutes long, right? So the worst thing is you get, so if you get bored for one, just give me a break and wait till the next one. I promise they get better as we progress. The second one, you're going to see failover based on electricity consumption. That's interesting, isn't it? So you see, I told you they get better. The third one is we're going to see failover based on one script for the whole infrastructure. Not bad. Failover from one data center to another. Not bad. And then the last two are going to be self-provisioning. So you could say that that gets cloudier now, right? Self-provisioning of servers. But not only self-provisioning, self-provisioning into production. Well, that's a big word. And then the last demo, we're going to see a little bit of Opalis. Have you all heard about Opalis, the new automation engine that we bought? Well, you'll hear a little, you'll see it working. So it's exciting, okay? So I hope this is as exciting for you as it is for me. And I'm going to actually go technical. I'm sorry they told me that you guys were architects and TDMs, and we will go a little bit technical. And you know what? I hope I'm going to save you a ton of PowerPoint dimes. You know what? You're going to see it working. So no more slides. And save demos. Isn't that cool? So we will get blue screens, but they'll all be recorded. I had to get some there. Okay, so let's start with the first one. Native Hyper-Vacup snapshots. So this is Hyper-V. I'm using nothing but just the operating system and scripts. And there we have a Windows 7 machine. And yes, you read right, Hannah Montana Linux. Right? I had to do something funny at some point in the presentation. And we're going to turn on, there, isn't that lovely, right? So we have Hannah Montana Linux, and we have Windows 7. And you know why I wanted to put Hannah Montana Linux on the screen? I know you're thinking, why is this guy going there? What the hell is happening? Well, I want to show you how an operating system that doesn't understand pass-through of commands reacts, and how an operating system that does. So this is the PowerShell script, and all we're doing is we're creating an alias on the PowerShell script, and we're using a command to do an xcopy and a backup through passing a virtual snapshot command to the operating system of the virtual machine. What did I just say in plain Spanish? I'm telling the virtual machine to back itself up through the services of the operating system. If you would try to do this with any other brand, you would need a third-party software. Okay? So the beauty of this is I am just throwing a command, a PowerShell command, as you can see here, and I go through this script, and it creates the alias, and it's going to put the Hannah Montana Linux machine on pause. You know why? Because she doesn't understand what virtual snapshot service is. So she says, I'm going to pause myself. But Windows 7 understands what virtual snapshot is, VSS services, on the operating system. And I can pass them through the operating system, through the hypervisor, sorry, to the operating system. So it just continues working. As you can see here, Hannah Montana is paused, and Windows 7 is still working. Okay. So now what we're going to do is as soon as this backup is done, we're going to pass, you see, so it came out of pause, and now we're going to stop this, and we're going to go and delete both virtual machines, not only in the hypervisor, but we're going to delete the VHD, so the hard disk file, virtual file. So there is no remains of these two machines on the folder, right? And what we did with the script is we copied the snapshot off of that folder into another folder so it wouldn't get confused. So give it a second. It's going to finish the backup. And as soon as that happens, you can see here we have the backups right there. And that's the new alias that we created. You see D and then X. And there we have the backups and the differentials. And obviously, you know what the end of this video is going to be like. And like I said, maximum you get bored for 30 seconds. You know what happens? We're going to delete them. And then we're going to hit a PowerShell command and we're going to restore them. Now, why show you this? Give me a second. There's a point to this. And this one is the one that is harder to explain. Because most people say, okay, I get it. You can do a script and you can do a backup. That's not the point. Hold on. It gets better. So right now, as you can see, we're going to delete the virtual machines. We're going to delete the hard disks. And we're going to go back and hit our restore. And as soon as we hit the restore, what's going to happen is Hannah Montana is going to come back, but it's going to come back as a paused machine, right? Why? Because it was backed up as paused machine. But what happens with Windows 7? So here we go. Here we're going to delete them. Let me not get ahead of myself. We stop them. We delete them. And then we go into the disk and we delete the files. So there's no remains of this, okay? And now we're going to hit the restore in a second. So there you go. Delete it. And here we're going to hit the restore. Perfect. So now, what we're doing here is we're telling it not only return the machines to the proper disk, right, to the proper folder, we're also telling Hyper-V, take these two machines, add them to your catalog, and start them. So it is a small PowerShell script. Why is this interesting? Here goes. Because what's going to happen is Hannah Montana, like I said, starts on pause, but Windows 7 starts as an off state, so it's turned off. And as soon as you turn it on, it says, what happened? You turned me off. So it was aware that there was a recovery point. You see, it was aware that there was a restore. What I'm trying to tell you is you can work with your machine where the whole stack is integrated. You see my point? Where everything is aware of what the other pieces are doing, or you can just work in best in class. What do I mean with best in class? We all purchase in best in class. We purchase everything that's best in class, and then nothing talks to each other, right? Well, I'm sorry to be so sarcastic. What I'm trying to tell you is I'd rather have a little less best in class, but more integrated. And what I'm trying to show you in this first demo is a little more integrated also gives you a little more power, because you're going to see how I build up on the next demos exactly on this idea. But I had to start, which is very simple backup. So we're done with the first one. Let's go to the second one, okay? Now let's see what a little more integration can do. The only thing that I'm going to show you here, because what did I do on the first one? I just showed you PowerShell, right? Just one tool. Let's go now to System Center Operations Manager. And that's all I'm going to use in conjunction with Virtual Machine Manager, okay? So I downloaded the HP or Dell or IBM management pack for my servers, and believe it or not, they come with this part, which is the consumption of electricity. And I've set up a quota. Some servers are balanced, which means they have a quota of how much physical electricity they can consume, and some other servers, they're high availability. You know, they can use as much as they want, right? High capacity. That's fine. Now, what's incredible about this already? When was the last time you saw a monitoring console that gave you not only operating system status, application status, user status, and physical status, but also gave you, and here it is, it gave you electricity consumption at a data center? I'm sorry to tell you, this is already pretty spectacular. Because you know what? Most of the time, facilities have nothing to do with the rest of the operation, right? So, okay, maybe you're not impressed. I like that. I like tough audiences. But there it is. I get the power consumption of my data center. Now I want to see my power sets. And in my power sets, I've divided them into racks. So the way physically you have your servers. And one of the racks, which is rack 3, has an alert. Now what is the alert? Let me see. Because I go into the Health Explorer and I want to see if the operating system had a failure or the application. But nope. Within the service chain, you see, with all the things that I'm monitoring, the thing that failed is it's consuming too much electricity. I told it that it was on a quota, and you know what? Just like me, it's eating too much, out of schedule, out of time. Okay, all good. So this is Virtual Machine Manager, and on this server, I have two virtual machines, VideoS 1 and VideoS 2. Okay? Now, what's beautiful about this? I have a pro tip here. What's a pro tip? Automation at its best. Virtual Machine Manager tells me, hey, you know what, my friend? Your server is consuming more electricity, and Ops Manager told me that. You see, I didn't have to integrate anything. Would you like me to fix it? So you can tell him no, tell me what the solution is, and I'll see to it myself. You can tell him yes, go fix it, which is what we did right here. Or you can tell him, don't fix it. Next time, don't even tell me. Just fix it, right? Don't even, just keep the alert and just fix it. What is this fix it? And this is fascinating. Well, I have a deep integration between virtual machines and physical world because I know that the video machine S1 and S2 consume a certain amount of memory and CPU. And I also know that those two machines, that equates to a certain amount of consumption of electricity within that server. So when I say move a machine out, I have to do a triple equation. Stay with me, please. The first equation is, how much does this virtual machine equate to, not only on performance, but also on electricity? Then I have to figure out which other server out there can run this virtual machine, again, on performance, so I keep delivering a great user experience, but also on electricity quota. And then I decide which machine to move where in my data center. Can you do this currently with other platforms? Pretty interesting, huh? Pretty interesting. So, bless you. So here we go. What's happening here? I have Video Machine S2, which is the one that the PowerTrip recommended to me, migrated, as you can see, with live migration, no failover time. There it's kicking in the memory, and it changed to another server. And you know what? This may be super interesting to you. It may be halfway interesting. Change the scenario. Understand that what I just showed you could be based on load consumption of indexes on a database. Who cares? It could be the consumption of load balancing on switches or routers or firewalls or DNS entries. You see my point? This is very interesting automation because I'm not failing over because the server failed and doing it in nanoseconds. Come on, good. Good for you. You're failing over because you understand that the consumption of your service needs a different behavior. And you know how much tools I used to this? Nothing. I used a downloaded management pack from my hardware vendor with Operations Manager. That's all I did. It's not too bad. My point to you is this is actually feasible. And that's a bad word to come about in IT because you know what? Most of the time, we fall in love with academic. But how many times do we fall in love with feasible? Let me say it differently, and I'm going to go more sarcastic on my next demo because I love pragmatism. I said it at the beginning. You guys were going to suffer through it. I know we've all bought an incredible SAN with snapshot copies and time copies and mirroring software to do geo-clustering failover in nanoseconds to another place in the world. I know that it's multidimensional, okay? We've paid for all that. But I'll ask you a question. Raise your hand how many people have all that installed and working. Don't do it. You see my point? We've all bought the solutions, but my question to you is how many of us know that these solutions are in production working? So what's my point? Let me show you something that doesn't take nanoseconds, maybe take 3 hours, but actually works. And you can deploy today. And you know what? Even sadder than that, you don't need to buy anything to do it. Because I'm sure you already bought everything you needed to do this one. So here goes. This is a website. It's an IIS server, okay? Are these demos good? Are these simple? I hope you enjoy them as much as I do. And on my website, I'm going to add another picture, right? It's just a simple website with a simple application for picture viewing, photographic viewing. We're going to load another photograph here. And now what we're going to do is, so we've changed the current state of this, right? So now what we're going to do is we're going to go and show you that I've set up this as a service for backup on my Data Protection Manager software, right? What does that mean? Well, if you have Exchange, SharePoint, IIS, Windows Server, whatever, it takes a snapshot and it puts it on a hard disk. And you can keep using all your wonderful software you've been using for as long as you want to take this to a tape. But what's interesting for me is the recovery process that you're going to see in a second, okay? So it's not the backup that's fantastic. It's the recovery that I'm going to talk about. So there you go. I said, yeah, I know you have a process, but I want you to do a snapshot right now. I want you to do a backup right now of that service, okay, without turning off the virtual machine. And this is Operation Manager, and I did something a little bit revolutionary here. I decided that I'm going to monitor the backup as part of the service. That's revolutionary. Because you know what? For me, the backup is as important as the service. I want to make sure that it's successful every time I do it. And I'm going to write a script. Now, this is interesting. This is how I circle back to the first demo. I'm going to write a PowerShell script. And this PowerShell script, I'll show it to you in a second. Be patient with me. So let's go back to Data Protection Manager. And there you go. My snapshot was a success. That's all good. So let's go back to Operations Manager and show you what the script is about. So what did we do? Well, we inserted an action on the health chain of this whole service, which says, if anything fails, anything whatsoever fails, I want you to do one single action, which is execute this script. Okay? So anything fails, I want you to execute one action, which is one script, one PowerShell script. Let's see what that script says. Well, the script is, and you could do a whole decision tree here, but we just said one action. The script says the following, and this is super complicated. Stay with me. You're going to go into Data Protection Manager 1, grab the last known good backup of server IIS 1, and you're going to recover it in Node 2. That's it. And you know what's the beauty of this? Node 2 could be on this data center, but that's a physical host. It can be anywhere else in the world either. And you could tell me I can snapshot that restore point that you got and take it in nanoseconds somewhere else, and then you don't need the copy time. You can do whatever you want. You see my point? The point here is one action. So then we're going to do something not very aggressive to this poor server. In fact, I highly recommend that you don't do this in production if you want to have a job tomorrow. Was that clear enough? Because then you're going to go back and say, this guy came and he recommended for Microsoft. No. You see, we're going to go in and look at the NTFS key, and we're going to delete it. Because who cares, right? Who needs the NTFS key? For those of you who are not deeply, deeply technical, that's the file system key. So we don't need that. And then we're going to delete NTDS because, you know what? What the hell? It looks like NTFS too. It just, you know, it sounds similar. And now we're going to do something really smart is we're going to restart the server. Right? Because, hey, I may need those keys when I reboot, right? Who knows? Now, we promised you we would never show you again a what? A blue screen, right? Well, I didn't make that promise. That was the other guy. Ta-da! Isn't that beautiful? So, we got a blue screen. Now, I'll ask you a very aggressive question. Don't be mad at me. Will your monitoring software detect this? Nope. I'm sorry, I know the answer. Will your virtualization engine monitoring software detect this? Nope. Will your current hardware monitoring software detect this? Nope. Would Operations Manager detect this? Yes. How come? It also has a management agent. It also goes on top because I have synthetic transactions. Because I'm monitoring the server on the physical and the layer. So anything that fails, it will tell me. You see, I don't have any contact with the operating system. I can't access the management pack. And the synthetic transaction is not working. So I already launched the recovery. You saw that? It took me longer to discuss with you than to find out that I had a failure on the service. And I already launched in Data Protection Manager the recovery. I know you're saying this is not impressive. But I'm sorry to tell you, you're absolutely wrong. Because, you know, I'll ask you a simple one. How many scripts did I write? How many places did I need to write this script in? Now, that's impressive. One script, one place, I'm controlling my whole environment. Look, it's there. That's why I don't like PowerPoint for this type of things. It's working right in front of you. And you know what it's doing? Super simple thing. It's grabbing that virtual machine, it's putting it on Node 2, and as you have seen in a second, you know, it grabs the last piece of the script which says, discard the VM state and start it up. In other words, restore my service from beginning to end. Was that cool? That was a little better, wasn't it? A little less boring, right? Well, you know why I like about this? I know 5-minute recovery within the same infrastructure with a small IIS server is not impressive. That's why I keep telling you, this could be 4 hours, but it works. You see my point? But it works. So I don't know if 4 hours is acceptable for you, but I'd rather have 4 hours that actually works. And that is a simple, simple task. Because you know what? You're going to tell me this is not good enough so for some of my line of business applications. And I'm going to agree with you. But this is good enough for the other 80% of the applications that you don't have a current solution for right now. Is that good? Ah. So maybe this is not good enough for the most critical one of yours. And for that, you're going to use a whole combination of very expensive solution to integrate. And I'm okay with that too. I highly recommend that, in fact. How's that? But for the other 90% of your stuff, why isn't this good enough? And that's where I got you. That's where I got you. You see my point? Well, let's keep going for a second. Because actually, let's not. Let's let this finish. I get excited with my own stuff. I'm sorry, you know. Just I like to see things work. It's not often. Well, there you go. You see? There you go. And that is a simple solution. And you saw how much I needed, and you saw the size of the script, and you saw the complication of the script. And now let me ask you a very, very tough question. How many skill sets do I need here? PowerShell? Maybe Operations Manager? Maybe Data Protection Manager? But the main one was what? PowerShell, right? That's not too bad, because that's also what I showed you on the first demo, and that's what I'll show you on the next demo as well. So, you see, what I'm trying to tell you is I don't go beyond 5 tools on this. And I'm showing you deep integration and automation. Well, let's keep going. Let's keep going. How about private cloud user-based provisioning? Look, I don't know if this is super cloudy or not, okay? But I think it's cloudy, like a little cloudy. So maybe you're going to say, that's not private cloud. Well, it's a little private cloud, okay? And let's see how it works. Again, one thing. I'm using this exact same tool set. System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And you know what? I created a template with one of the virtual machines. And what happens here? Well, with this virtual machine, this template, which is rather interesting, I created a couple of things with it. The first thing I created is I obviously told it what the hardware configuration would be. And by the way, yes, you can do this with us and with other virtualization infrastructure. Okay? If your answer is how much, well, the question is how much. I would dare say just simple 80% of whatever you thought, okay? Now, what's interesting here is, look, I can domain join the machine, and I can do sys prepping on the machine. You would tell me others can do that too. This is the part that they can't. They can't add a PowerShell script at the end, and that's the beauty. So I just showed you how much I can do with PowerShell, right? Let me show you some more. So I'm going to do sys prepping on this machine. I'm going to do not only that, but domain joining of this machine. But on top of that, I'm going to add it to full production. What does full production mean for me? Operations management, configuration management, and data protection. In other words, backup, patches, and security and monitoring. Well, I'm going to create now a user-based. But you know what? I don't like my tools creating a whole bunch of different directories all over my infrastructure. So, oh, what a surprise. I'm going to use Active Directory to authenticate the users. And I'm going to give them certain rights, and I'm going to take away some rights on what they can do with this template so that they can provision themselves. And this is a web development template. Okay, so I've added a couple of guys, and I'm going to give them 10 quota points. And 10 quota points means I'm going to give you the ability to create or manage 10 virtual machines. That's it, whatever they may be, from the templates that I gave you permission to use. Okay, so now we're going to go into a workstation machine, and we're going to enter through the web browser. How many tools am I using? It's still just System Center Virtual Machine Manager, nothing else. And this can manage hybrid infrastructures. In other words, not only Microsoft. You can manage Xen, you can manage VMware through here. Okay. So right here, I'm signing in through a revolutionary concept, my Active Directory credentials, not another security directory yet out there, but the same credentials I use all the time. And there you go. That's my web template. And I'm going to create a brand new server because I have 10 quota points and they're all available to me. So I'm going to create one that's called App1, as you can see there. And what's lovely about this is I have just controlled my crazy web developers. And we all have some of those, okay? I know we hide them. This is like the cousins, right? We don't admit they're there. But we all have some of those. And we want to control them, but we want to give them flexibility, because they're at their best when they are a little flexible. So there you go. You can create your own machine. But let's see what happens on the background. Well, on the background, something pretty interesting is going to happen. Number one, I'm going to have access to this machine that's being created right here, as you can see, on node 2, as I stated that this user can create servers on. But more interesting, at the end of the process, we're going to sysprep it, join it to the domain, and at the same time, it's going to be joined to a collection of config manager, to a monitoring scheme of ops manager, and to a restore point with data protection. You're going to see the last part. Because you know what? For us, that's not exciting enough, to be honest with you. That's just not exciting. Maybe you would say, yeah, I don't have that with the others, and that's already exciting, but for us, that's not exciting enough. What would be exciting? Well, this is a web server. What's your biggest concern? Where it's published, right? Because what if this guy goes crazy and wants to put it on the internet? What would you have to do? Now, you think I'm being boring again. Okay. I'll ask you a simple one. Wouldn't you have to call the crazy security guys on the other end of the building and then get their permission for 3 weeks in advance and take them to lunch 2 times and then ask them for a special favor? And then maybe they will publish this lonely server to the internet? So all the automation you just did was for what? Nothing! Because those guys won't give you the time of day. Okay. So here it is. What is this PowerShell script? Well, this PowerShell script says, as soon as the server finishes configuring itself, you publish your IP as a text document on the forefront TMG server. Let me translate that for non-Microsofties. On your firewall server, okay? So I'm going to publish a file with my IP on that. And I created, yes, yet another PowerShell script called Cloud. And this PowerShell script reads this folder all the time, parses it, and obviously takes that IP and publishes it on Forefront TMG, which is my firewall. I know, not impressive yet. Give me a second. There's the IP address. There is the script. Let's see it. This is a little more complicated script than the one you saw before. But look what happens here. 1, 2, 3. You see, this is what I love about a video, right? Look, no hands. Right? I'm sorry, guys, but I couldn't show you this in 1 hour any other way. Is that not impressive? Come on, I'm not expecting a clap, but just go like this. I didn't call the security people. That is incredible. Don't tell them you like them. And if you're a security guy, I didn't talk about you. I was talking about the other guy, okay? Come on, look at this. I just grabbed the servers from a server from a template. A user self-provisioned it to himself. He added it to production. And if that's not enough, I published it on the internet via my regular firewall with standard procedures. And the guy is connecting RDP through it, and the server's domain joined. And you know how many softwares I use that are not released yet to production that you can't buy yet? You already have access to 90% of this, or you already bought 90% of this. The worst case is you need one of these tools. And the best case is you have somebody else's tool, and you can probably automate that too. Is this cloudy enough? I don't know. Come on. Honestly, I'm not being funny now. I don't know if this is cloudy enough. But for me, this is pretty automated. And you know what? I'm happy with this. Because what my goal was today was to show you good people that you can actually automate this and achieve a good cloudy state. Right? I think that's my 17 cloudy joke. That's it. No more. Well, no, maybe a couple more, but not too many. So I just deployed a server into production with full security rights, and it was all done with 3 PowerShell scripts and the infrastructure that you already have. Now again, you could tell me, I don't use everything of yours. I have a combination. I know. Well, maybe you should consider using a little bit more. Not everything, just a little bit more, so that it is tightly integrated, because you know what? I'd rather have, again, tightly integrated than not being able to automate it all. That's just me. Let's go through the next one. And this is the last one, okay? So, the interesting thing with this one is that this is the cherry on the cake, right? Everybody sees this and they're like, why didn't you show that video before? That's the prettiest one of them all. I know. But you know what? If I showed you this one, you would absolutely not see the magic of PowerShell. And it takes me 3 videos to show you the magic of PowerShell. And you may say, well, you guys finally got it because you said scripts are not necessary for 15 years. Yeah, we finally got it. And we can apologize all day for stuff like that or just show you how incredible it is right now, right? But my point to you is, are you up to speed on your skills? And when I say you, I'm not talking about you as a person. I'm talking with all due respect to you as an organization, right? Are you up to speed to automate and manage with PowerShell this type of scenarios? Because I don't think I grabbed any scenario that you don't have today. It was a simple backup scenario. It was a simple web scenario. It was a simple self-provisioning scenario. You see my point. So any one of your services would benefit for something of this. A little bit or a lot, but something of this. So the last one, let me introduce it a little bit better before I just jump into it. I'm going to show you Opalis. Opalis was a recent acquisition that we did. Opalis goes into the System Center family of products. And Opalis is an automation engine. You will see it in a second, okay? So the way you think of BizTalk for business applications, I like to make that sort of similar reference, not really, but sort of, to a palace with IT procedures and processes, okay? So you can grab a whole bunch. Now, why is a palace extremely interesting? Because it has a ton of connectors or integration packs. So you could tell me, do you have an integration pack with this software that's not yours in the industry? And you know what? Again, my lovely answer, 80% of what you thought would be probably right, okay? So 20% we probably won't have an integration pack, but for the rest of 80% of what you buy and you own, we'll probably have an automation pack. Integration pack, sorry. And what's interesting is, on December, that's the only thing that I'm showing you right now that is not released yet, okay? So I'm being absolutely honest. The only thing I'm showing you in the whole session that's not released are the integration packs with System Center. And you're going to see them right now working, okay? So you're going to see how this is already really well integrated, really well done, but it's not released yet. It will be released from here till December, till end of year. Now, what are you going to see? You're going to see that we drop a box and how that works in Opalis, you know, how you start to do a workflow, and then we're going to see a simple workflow. But I need to explain one thing before I start with the workflow. I don't know if all of you know the tool that we have, which is free, called Map. So I need to explain this before I start the video. If not, you're going to be like, what was that? Map is a very, very good tool. I highly recommend that you download and use. I'm absolutely serious. Absolutely free. If you want to get it, it's Microsoft.com/MAP, Map. And the Microsoft Map tool goes into your infrastructure. You install it on a server, and it doesn't put a client on everybody else. It's clientless. And it evaluates. You could tell that I want to measure my SharePoint infrastructure, and an evaluate or exchange or whatever, but you can also tell, I want you to give me a recommendation on consolidation of their servers. And it looks at them and it says, I would recommend that you consolidate them or virtualize them this way. So my example here is I'm going to grab the map database, okay? I'm going to read from the map database that I've already run on my infrastructure, and I want to see how, literally how, it has recommended which servers and what servers should I consolidate, And then I'm going to grab one by one and create a change request on the brand new Service Desk software that Microsoft has called Service Manager. So again, I'm going to read from the map tool and create a change request on my Service Manager for each one of the servers, okay? Once I do that, I'm then going to wait for approval. That's what the process says in a palace, okay? I'm going to wait for approval. And once somebody gives me approval, then I'm going to start the process that I'm going to show you, okay? All good? Let's go. So here is a palace, and you can see right there on the right, I have System Center Service Manager, the integration pack, as well as some others. And I've just dropped one of the commands, which is create a change template. So you can see here I have deep integration with all the tools. So you could tell me, do you integrate with other non-Microsoft tools? Yes, and that's the point of a palace. It integrates with a ton of tools, non-Microsoft and Microsoft. So you can automate a lot of the stuff that I showed you and do it with a palace if you can't do it with PowerShell and something else. You could use this to get one of the scenarios that I just showed you. So that's just an example of how deeply integrated it is. Example, let's say you have somebody else's a service desk, and et cetera. You can automate all those processes. What are we doing here? We're querying the map database for virtualization candidates, creating a change request in Service Manager, defining an activity owner, which we just started right there, the process, as you can see. We just hit start. Think of this as a batch process. And then we're going to update the change request to who it was assigned to and wait for approval. Okay? So let's see how this looks. You see, obviously, the mouse is going to go way slower than me because I'm talking a little bit fast right now. And we're going to look at this procedure. Now, we programmed this procedure. And let's say that you're using, like I said, somebody else's service desk. Well, you can also, it's very probable that if you're using a common brand, we'll have an integration pack for it, and you can automate something like this. Now, obviously, when I said 80%, I mean 20%. We're not going to integrate, and I'm sorry, okay? But let's continue. So once that gets approved, I'm going to create a Data Protection Manager recovery point of this server. So I'm going to back it up. I'm going to add it to a collection in Configuration Manager so that it has all the latest updates. And then I'm going to check if it has the antivirus installed forefront. If not, install it. And then I'm going to put it on maintenance mode on Operations Manager. I hope I'm not going too fast. Then I'm going to go through the process of P2V, which is physical to virtual, on System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and take it out of maintenance. As you can see here, this is Service Manager. There are my change requests that the process already created for my virtualization candidates. And let's just grab one of them, okay? Let's follow through the example with one of them. So right here you can see I didn't have to copy anything. The whole process that I just told you got documented. And this wasn't a palace. This was the deep integration that Service Manager has with Operations Manager and the rest of the tools that I just showed you. So it pulled in all the information on the server. Look, I don't know if you get this. You didn't have to copy anything, okay? Didn't have to integrate from 17 places to have one documentation. The documentation got pulled from your environment because of the deep integration. Look, many years ago we were horrible. This is fantastic. I'm sorry we were horrible many years ago. But I'm not going to be sorry that this is fantastic right now and I'm showing it to you. Now, as you can see here, the process is going to continue. Like I said, it's going to create a backup in Data Protection Manager, okay? After it finishes that backup, it's going to get added to a collection in Configuration Manager. By the way, if there's any failure, I'm going to raise an incident in Service Manager, okay, and say there was a problem. After I do that collection and check that all the patches get installed, I see if the antivirus is installed. If not, I install it. And then I put my server on maintenance mode, on Operations Manager. Why? Because when I go P2V, when I go physical to virtual, I'm going to stop this machine for obvious reasons. Therefore, my monitoring engine is going to go crazy. Say, what happened here, right? You have an alert. No, that's why I put you on maintenance mode. So after I do my P2V process, I confirm P2V success, and I stop maintenance. Do you see the server on maintenance mode right here? Did I have to do anything? No. I know it's a video, okay? Don't believe me. Do a proof of concept. That would be the best success that I have today. You see my point? Test it. Don't believe me. But if you test it, you will see how much of that 80% helps you. And then put that 80% to work for you in your data centers. Well, as you can see here, my last part is I take it out. Well, you're going to see the server being virtualized, and that's how the video finishes. It's, I'm sorry to say, pretty straightforward, but extremely powerful. I know I could have shown you this with somebody else's backup product and a whole bunch of, but I didn't have the licenses, so I want to be nice, so I used all Microsoft products. I'm sorry. Now, this is a Microsoft conference, so what do you expect, right? I already showed you HANA Montana Linux. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? I mean, come on. That was, if not pretty cool, that was risque enough, okay? So there you go. Virtualize the server. That's it for this video. What are all the toys that I showed you? I showed you System Center, Hyper-V, and the operating system. In other words, again, I showed you the operating system and System Center. That's all I did. That's all I did. And I bet you, you guys already own 70%, 80%, or 90% of this. And you've paid for it. So my dear, dear, dear recommendation to all of you is use it. Use it for whatever means serves your better service delivery capabilities. But use it, because I hope that by seeing it here, you understand that it wasn't slideware. It wasn't an intention of maybe it works. It works. Now, does it work for every workload? Is it the best solution for everything you have? I never said that. In fact, you know what? I'll be aggressive enough to say absolutely not. But is it good enough for 80% of what you have out there? I believe it. Is it cloudy enough? Well, I'm not from Belgium. I'm Mexican. But you know what? It's cloudy enough for me in Cancun. You know? That's cloudy enough. And you know what? If I want to go private cloud later on, I'll be ready. And you know why I will be ready? Because I'm heavily automated. And who created this best practices? Somebody else? I'm sorry. You got to create this. Can we help you? Absolutely. I'm not joking. Absolutely. But we have to be humble in our approach. And this is a problem we face. We always want, and I don't know if you're the same as me, but it's everything or nothing, right? Either I get everything fixed or I fix nothing. I never say I fix nothing, but I always say, no, if you don't solve all my problems, I don't want to see that tool. I don't want to see that solution. I don't. Why? Fix 15% of my problems right now. Fix 20%. And promise me you're going to fix another 20% next year. Because you know what? In 2 years, I'm going to be at 40%. And with all due respect, if I would have achieved the last approach, which was fix everything or nothing, in 2 years, I would have been still at, I don't know, I'm not going to say nothing, but 5%. So where would you rather be? 40% or 5%, right? Where would you rather be? I'd rather have some of my workloads more automated. Now, again, am I recommending everything you saw here? Nope. Am I recommending you use all the Microsoft gadgetry? That one came actually right. That's pretty hard with my accent. You know what? Nope. Not recommending that. Not recommending that. I'm recommending you use as much of this as it serves your purpose. Is that fair? That's my point. That's all I'm asking, okay? Consider this seriously for production tomorrow. Not in 2 years. Don't evaluate everything. Don't try to consume everything. This is like me and the bicycle story, right? Truthfully, I have 3 bicycles. They're still in Mexico gathering dust. You know? So, let's summarize. Number one, I believe in profound changes by honest people with honest tools with humble approaches. You know why? Because it works. It works. If you have a humble approach, humble does not mean little, but it means I'm going to do 10% in 2 months. But wait, you didn't get this. I'm going to do it. You see? That's the difference. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't intend to do it. I am going to do it. And that's what I just showed you. I'm going to do 10% in 2 months because any change that you do on processes, services, application platforms, or fabric that is better integrated will serve your purpose better and will get you today to a cloudier tomorrow. That just came out wrong, didn't it? I know. That was on purpose. Look, anything you do of what I just said, anything, gives you a benefit. If you do end-to-end management, a study we did, which is extremely interesting, if you're willing to see deeper, ask us to come to your office and show you some of the studies that we've done. We have a team in Redmond, right, in Seattle, called the War on Cost Team, and they report to the Systems Center Division. These are four incredible human beings. I work very close with them, and they're really, really magnificent because they are like the sickest and more insane, paranoid Gardner and Forrester analyst condensed into one human being that I've seen in my life. These guys think that Forrester and Gardner do poor analysis. So you know what they do? They go deep and they choose. Last study they did, 2,000 companies through a double blind. Let me explain. They hired a company, gave them a 2,000 company reference, right? And they say, go ask these 2,000 companies who wants to participate on a heavy, heavy TCO analysis, total cost of ownership analysis of best practices, agnostic of brand of system management tools. Now, why do I say heavy? Because there's going to be about 400 questions. They're going to be conducted in an interview of 2 hours. And I'm going to have the right, through this analysis, to go back to you if I have questions. Wow. So you know what? 154 companies came back and they said, I'll participate if you give me a copy of the detailed results. So we said, there you go. That's the spirit. So that's where we get this type of results. You see, this is not lightheaded results. And if you're willing to see this, this is a 1 hour and a half. In fact, I would love to do this live meeting with you if you're interested. Okay? And we can do this. You just have to coordinate with your local Microsoft representative. And they know how to contact me. Trust me, I've been pulled back here 4 times already. I know, I'm sorry. That was also a bad joke. My point is simple. I would love to share this data with you in detail if you're interested. And it is agnostic. It's not Microsoft driven, okay? So in other words, we didn't ask what you're using to do this best practice. We just asked what are the best practices that you're using. I'm going back to my presentation right here and not sidetracking at all. If you do end-to-end management, you save up to 30% of labor costs per core server. Per server. That is huge. If you do unified physical and virtual, let me explain that simpler. Why are you accepting that your virtual servers have a poor management, configuration, monitoring, backup, or security than your physical? Why? Why is it that it's okay to have a virtual server that you cannot configure, that you cannot do offline management or offline patching? Why is it acceptable that you cannot secure it the same way? You have to have the same grasp and control for production. Agreed? Whether it be physical or virtual. Because not only it is extremely critical, because you're opening holes in your production line and your management line, but because, look at this. Reduce the footprint and facilities by 80%. Now, what am I talking about? Am I talking like my competitors about hardware cost and facilities cost? No, those are one time. That would be too simple. And I'm not joking. We are everything but simple, if you know us well. This is TCO. This is 3-year total cost of ownership of one virtualization engine versus the other. Okay? This is 80% less cost of total TCO. In other words, core server labor cost. Because the only thing you pay to 3 years is labor. So the one thing that you really want to measure when you're doing a TCO is labor. Now, the next one. Scalable and reliable. You can provision new business applications 95% quicker, but we know that. Now, again, a virtualization of a server is not a virtualization of a data center. We agreed on that at the beginning, right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about automation, management, and virtualization. Protect anywhere. Reduce average response time to new viruses by over 75%. And access anywhere. Reducing time spent on user account creation by up to 90%. Let me just tell you something simple. anything you do here gives you a benefit, right? Anything is a plus. You have to choose all of them. Choose one, two, three, whichever you want to start with. And integrate it. You know what? If you do three, you get three benefits. This is like the fair. You know, you get one prize, you get two prizes, and it's not 1.5 prizes. You get a prize for everything you do here. So do three, do four. Don't try to do everything at once. We end up with the same problem as always. We try to do too much, and then eventually we don't over-deploy. We actually, and excuse my Spanish, we under-deploy, right? Don't do that. Well, there is a beautiful saying by Mr. Tom Bittman from Gartner that I absolutely agree with. I could not agree with more. And what he says is this. Virtualization without good management is more dangerous than not using virtualization at all. Would you agree with him? Be careful with that one. Don't get yourself so ahead on your technology that you leave everything else behind. And that's what I've been trying to say for over an hour 10 minutes. So, number one, please check some of this good stuff out. Don't believe us. I'm serious. Don't. Check some of this out. Whether it be in production, half production, or quarter production, test environment, or whatever you want. Our lab, your lab, or whatever. You can get a copy of the videos if you want, in fact. You know what? Just ask your Microsoft representative. That's not the point. Test it out. Get some deep, crazy, insane PowerShell skills. You know why? Every tool I showed you, the underneath of it, the pipes, the engine, guess what it is? So if you want to do something right, learn PowerShell, get PowerShell, use PowerShell, and automate with PowerShell. Did I say PowerShell enough? Because you know what? PowerShell for me is the first step to a private cloudiness. And allows to collaborate on architecting some of these roadmaps for your needs, for your solutions. Let's try to find what's the right set of mixture for you, for your services. Let us participate. I'll tell you a secret. I was talking to a brilliant, brilliant strategist at a company, and he told me, I believe in three types of services. And he really blew me away with this idea. This was 5 years ago. He said, I believe in three types of services. I believe in deployment services. I believe in pool as in swimming pool, management services, and I believe in outsourcing or insourcing or whatever. And I was blown away. I said, what do you mean by pool services? He says, here, let me explain to you. Deployment is you come in, you set this whole thing up, and then you leave, and I'm stuck with whatever you deployed. Okay. And insourcing, outsourcing, whatever, is you run it. I have no idea what you're doing. And you probably give me a bad service and I pay for it monthly. I said, okay, I get those two. We all know those, right? For ages. And I know I'm being sarcastic. I'm trying to be entertaining as well. But the middle one, I said, what the hell are you talking about with this pool, swimming pool services? He says, well, I hate doing inventory management. Anybody here doesn't hate doing inventory management? You don't hate doing inventory management? No, really? Wow. That's the first one worldwide. There's always one. I'm just joking, man. So why would I do it? I don't know. Well, how about this? I set up a good server infrastructure. I set up the tools to do inventory management. I have a good base image that projects inventory, right, for all my distributed devices. And I test all the deployment. Okay, but over time, what happens to all this thing? It decays, and it stops working. So what do I do every 6 months? This is like the pool guy, right? He comes in. You're the owner of the cleaning things, of the chemicals, of everything. But he comes in, he does his work, and he leaves. Well, he has a company, and I love this example. He has a company that comes in with three, you know, technical gurus and 17 hands, right, or 24 sets of hands. And what they do is they run the technical aspect of inventory management, and then whatever can't be asset found, he sends the 24 hands to go out there into the world, find what the hell happened to those machines. He comes back, builds a beautiful report, builds a consistent inventory, and gives it to this company. And does this guy suffer? No, it's like it must be you. You see? Not suffering. It actually works. and you actually get an inventory. And you don't need a crazy headcount to do this. And you don't stress yourself. You know why? Because he's buying this type of service, he has it in his budget, and it's not a peak in people in his organization. Cool idea, isn't it? So you see my point? Some things are deployment services. Some things are insourcing, outsourcing, or somebody operates. But something is, I don't want to have the hands to do this because it is not something that I need to do every day of the year. And I don't need to have the deep knowledge on it. I don't care about the chemicals of the pool. I just want to swim in it, right? So some of this ideas means, what am I recommending to you directly? Why don't you get some architectural services from Microsoft? Why aren't we helping you with some of the architecture on this stuff? Well, there you go. That's revolutionary. Why aren't we helping you deploy and maintain some of this stuff? Well, there you go. So I hope I'm giving you ideas because that's all I'm here to do. I hope I was a little entertaining. I hope I was very cloudy. And I really hope you enjoyed this because it was truly built so that you would get tangible knowledge on how to see what you could do today with our platform. My intention was for you to come out today and say, yes, I saw the future, but I saw the present too. And that's my best intention. And if I achieved it, I'm extremely happy. So there's a whole bunch of links here that I'm sure you won't have time to copy because I just clicked away from them. No, I'm sorry, I'm signed now. I always do that. It's just, I have very little opportunity to torture you, so you know. So look, end of the day, Microsoft.com/virtualization, okay? The rest is all good stuff in TechNet. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of labs in TechNet Labs that you can go and connect to remotely. You don't need any infrastructure whatsoever. You can test a whole bunch of the solutions, right, on TechNet Labs. I highly recommend. If you want to test some of this today, just don't even call anybody. Go to TechNet Labs and test some of this stuff up there. It's not everything is up there, I'm sorry, but some of the scenarios are, okay? So with that said, thank you very, very much for three things. For your attention, for allowing me to continue to come and talk to you good people, but mostly, for allowing us to keep honest and giving you value. Please push us to do better for you. Let us know exactly what you want, how you want it, whether it be on this type of events or on the services we provide or on the products we build with you. We subsist because of the honesty of that relationship, okay? So please don't be quiet. Please don't stay quiet. Let us know what we're doing wrong. Let us know as harshly as you've always let us know, and harsher now than ever. But let us give you value because you know what? We've been here for 30 years for one reason. Because believe it or not, we actually listen. I know it looks like we don't, but we actually listen. So thank you kindly. Thank you very much. And I deeply appreciate your hour.